Thank you for listening to a message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. The following sermon was recorded during our Sunday morning worship service. The notes for this sermon are available on our website at www.manhattanchurch.org/sermon-notes. We hope that this message will be helpful to you and encourage you to explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" The disciples said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But then Jesus asked them, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Then Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of death will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain that he must go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and on the third day, be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned to him and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. If anyone come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me."
I always love her. Sorry, I step on him. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, they deserve two whoops. Maybe three whoops. Well, thanks so much, Brother Dennis and Emily, and the worship. It sounded great, by the way, praise team. And Christine, of course, was a dramatic reading. And everybody's, you know, using their gifts. And it's just such a great song, Brother Dennis. It's always glad to see you, in the family, So, and just keep, we heard our prayer, Valerie, wonderful prayer, heartfelt prayer, wonderful. And there's a lot of concerns in here. And I just want to lean into Sister Tiffany, because she's my homegirl from Louisville, from Murray State. But it's a tough time, so please keep them in your prayers. When Jesus asked in Matthew, "Who do you say I am?" He's not only asking for a confession, as we just heard so wonderfully said. He's also asking something else, I think. He's asking, what kind of world do you really want God to create? And throughout history in the ancient world, people have sometimes, chose to worship a version of God that produces the outcomes that one's desire. or that one most likely will, God will bless or affirm the outcomes that people already have. You know, a kind of a God that protects interests, personal interests, spiritual interests, economic interests, political interests. And that can be in a stark contrast to the God that's revealed in Jesus. And sometimes those two can be really, you know, polar opposites. Jesus asks, who do you say I am? In ancient texts, there was always patterns of people being challenged. You know, you have in 1 Samuel 8, you know, people demand a king. They want a ruler like the surrounding nations, a ruler that's strong and someone powerful, someone victorious in war, someone who promises total victory, total destruction, to bomb them back to the Stone Age, someone who promises to wipe out civilizations at least in 2 weeks, you know. And God warns them that a king will exploit them, take their land, tax their crops, conscript their sons and daughters, but they insist anyway, give us a king. They wanted power more than faithfulness. So they kind of wrap their desires in religious language and called it God's will. And then we see in the wilderness in Exodus 32, when Moses disappears on the mountain, the people create what? A golden calf, right? It's interesting that they don't say, we're abandoning God. No, they didn't say that. They just says, these are your gods who brought us out of Egypt. And they take the story of liberation and attach it to an idol. Again, the form of worship stays religious, but the object of devotion has changed. In the time of Jesus, many wanted a Messiah who would overthrow Rome, overthrow empire, defeat and destroy enemies. Now, when Jesus refuses that role, when his life in God and the life of God centers on loving enemies, blessing those who persecute you, pursuing those who are demonized and outcast, and those living in the grip of poverty, many turn away. Now, again, they didn't reject religion. They just rejected that version of God and what a so-called Messiah should really be doing. I mean, really? And it raises an interesting kind of question. Sometimes one can reject God outright. Someone doesn't have to reject God outright, but they can simply replace God with a version that delivers the outcomes that one wants. You know, a God who protects national identity, a God who reinforces racial hierarchy, a God who blesses economic domination, a God who keeps certain people outside of the circle, and certain people, the good people, on the inside. Destroy enemies. Sometimes people even want a God who can destroy white Christian nationalism, destroy corrupt oligarchs, destroy ICE agents, a God who destroys racists, buffoonish warmonging presidents. Now, is it okay to destroy them? Again, he asks, who do you say I am? When witnessing against oppression and harm, it can be very easy to enlist Jesus in a righteous war against enemies that you despise most. Amen?
Amen.
In all aspects of life, you know, political, cultural, you know, spiritual. And the name of Jesus is always spoken and worshiped, but sometimes the outcomes can look very different from what Jesus revealed in God. Now, when forms of a faith narrative can consistently produce opposite outcomes, like exclusion, domination, dehumanization, and when Jesus asks, who do you say I am, it is sometimes can be really easy to attach one's fear and ambitions all in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, is that hard? Is it easy? thought it's easy. I struggle with it all the time. It's a challenge for me. Again, he keeps asking me, but who do you say I am? He's asking again, what kind of kingdom of life of God do you really, really want? Who do you think, Brother Carl, who do you think God is really for in this world? Do you think God is only for American citizens? For wealthy people? Come on, Carl. Only for white people? Only for immigrants? Only for migrants? For those who are unhoused? For those experiencing extreme poverty? Only for black people? Jewish people? Muslim people? Members of the LGBTQ community? Or MAGA supporters? Donald Trump? Who is God for? Who do you say I am? Jesus says. Jesus is asking also, who are you willing to exclude to maintain your version of faith? Again, the list. Exclude American citizens, immigrants, migrants, those demonized, Pete Hetstats. Who do we exclude? Black Lives Matter? No King protesters? ICE agents? Liberals? Conservatives? Progressive? Independents? Who do you say I am? Responses to that question can simultaneously rearrange one's politics, one's tribe, one's comfort, as well as being already embodied in your life. And maybe you won't even know it. Confession time. You know, I'm a theater person. I love theater. I love musical theater. I love musical films. They can be fun, silly, poetic, powerful, philosophical. And, you know, and I'm blessed that God has allowed me occasionally to indulge my hobby and do a few commercials and some silly films. If you've seen any of them, seen really silly films. And I just love that stuff. It's fun. But sometimes these films and musicals can help me see points in myself that I never really noticed. And one of those musicals is Jesus Christ Superstar. You know, it sounds corny, you know, it's just over the years. I mean, it's been on for a long time, but I found myself identifying more and more with the characters of Simon the Zealot and identifying with the frustrations of the disciples in a couple of those songs. And can I share them with you right now? Would that be okay? Can we share those two clips? Maybe somebody hit the lights if you can. No, we don't have to. Forget the lights. That's right. All right.
This is the first one.
You can bring it up a little bit.
Why should you want to know? Don't you mind about the future? Don't you try to think ahead?
Maybe hit the light, yeah.
Why are you obsessed with fighting times and fates you can't defy? If you knew the path we're riding, you'd understand it less than I.
What's the buzz down? What's happening? What's the buzz down? What's happening? What's the buzz down? What's happening?
Let me try to cool down this bit. 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 Let me try to cool down this. Let me try to cool down this bit.
Mary, that is good. While you prattle through your supper. What I need right here now.
What's the buzz down? What's happening? 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 What's the buzz down?
Okay.
Is that, do we have that other one? The
But you know I love you. Did you see our way? I believe in you and God, so tell me that I say. But you know I love you. Did you see our way? I believe in you and God, so tell me that I say. Jesus, I'm with you. Let me take the Jesus. Jesus, I'm on your side. Kiss me, Jesus.
There must be over 50,000 screaming love and more for you. And every one of 50,000 would do whatever you ask them to. Keep them yelling their devotion, but add a touch of hate at Rome. You will rise to a greater power. We will win ourselves a home. You get the power.
Thanks to it for indulging me. That's a great Larry Marshall. I actually got to meet him. He came to one of our shows in the Cotton Club. He was a great guy. In those clips, you see Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot here. He isn't wrong to long for justice, but he's just trying to recruit Jesus to his agenda, right? Liberation on his terms, power in his direction, enemies handled the right way. And that sometimes, I'm just naming something that just I don't always like to admit. Sometimes maybe you're like me, I just don't want to follow Jesus. I just want more to aim him at stuff, Take care of Rome. Take care of MAGA. Take care of those people who dropping bombs, whoever those people are, whoever. Meanwhile, the other side is, take care of the migrants, Jesus. Take care of the liberals and progressives, Jesus. Take care of the people who are trans or playing sports, and just take care of people who are enabling and taking over, and take care of the black protesters, and just, it's easy to conscript Jesus into what you want him to do, like a gun. Same instinct, different targets. Same temptation to weaponize Jesus. Who do you say I am, he keeps saying. That is so disruptive to me, because it exposes whether Jesus is Lord or Jesus is a tool to be baptized into my or your politics and preferences. Simon calls for power. Jesus walks toward a cross. Simon wants domination. Jesus embodies costly love. Simon wants his enemies crushed. Jesus refuses to become what he opposes. And one of the challenges is, the moment that I think, maybe if you're like me, maybe, when you're most convinced that you are on Jesus' side is often the very moment you run the risk of standing in the way of Jesus. It's like Peter confessing Messiah one minute and then being called Satan by that same Messiah. And I love in the What's the Buzz song, I mean, again, it's, you know, I mean, it's so groovy. I was just I want to dance myself. It's, I love that stuff. But, you know, they're saying, what's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? What's going on? You know, what they're saying? They're saying, give us some clarity. Clarify what's going on. Who are, what, give us the plan, man. Come on. Tell us what's happening next. They're not evil. They're just anxious. Clarity. Focus. They don't lack devotion. They lack tolerance for uncertainty. Which kind of, for me, unmasks a deeper truth. Sometimes, you know, the Jesus I want, I want more predictability, more control. I want order. Order. I want confirmation. I want timelines instead of trust. I want outcomes instead of obedience. I want the uncomfortable certainty of not knowing instead of the faith that can be really scary. Because faith can sometimes be a burden. Patience is a burden. Nuance is a burden. Certainty, in troublesome times, it feels like relief. Amen? Sometimes people who call themselves whatever kind of, you know, partisan thing, what they're asking sometimes is they just want some moral clarity. Not about all this ambiguity and, well, confidence in knowing who's right and who's wrong. A sense that history, truth, and even God are unquestionably on our side. All through groovy music. Jesus consistently resists that demand. He refuses to give clean timelines, to flatten complex realities. He refuses to turn people into categories of us and them, or hand God over to the tool of certainty. Instead, he invites people into something much, much harder. When he says, who do you say I am? He's asking for trust without a lot of information. He's asking for action without total clarity. Love without a lot of guarantees. You don't know how people are going to respond. Who do you say I am? Because if Jesus is not fully predictable, not fully controllable, not fully co-opted in my side, then following him can always feel like less and less certainty and more risk. And sometimes the burden of faith is really hard to carry. I know sometimes I struggle with that, you know, especially when I'm feeling scared, afraid, traumatized, or depressed, which is often these days for various reasons. That burden might actually be a space where transformation could actually happen, you know. When he asks, who do you say I am, he's not giving you a theological kind of lesson or study. He's asking about allegiance, imagination, and power. And Peter answers correctly, you are the Messiah, the living God. And Peter says, affirm. But Jesus says, this insight wasn't given by you, it was given by God. And in that moment, Peter is clear, he's certain, because Jesus just said, hey, that was given you by God. He's, oh, I'm certain. He's spirit aligned, he's spirit led. But a few verses later, Jesus talks about suffering, rejection, death. And then Peter says, ho, no, 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 no. This ain't happening to you, man. No, 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 no. And the same Peter who spoke by revelation becomes the mouthpiece for complete and total opposition to God. Jesus responds with one of the harshest rebukes in all of Scripture to me. He doesn't say, get behind me, Peter. You know, he says, get behind me, Satan. Same disciple, same mouth. Two radically different voices. And I think that's what's at stake, because this story exposes something for me that you can get Jesus right in confession and kind of miss him in practice. One can prophetically proclaim the Messiah, proclaim the Christ, and still reject the path of Christ. And from Peter's point of view, he wasn't denying Jesus. He was trying to protect him, trying to hit him off, trying to help him out. Jesus, that's not how this works, man. You don't have to do all that. This is not what this is about. You know, a real Messiah. No, this is just, no. And that's why this is a little challenging to me, because any version of Jesus that removes the suffering, removes sacrifice, removes solidarity with the oppressed, it's not Jesus. And according to Jesus, it actually can become evil. He called it satanic, Satan. And I think the Satan here is not like a being, I think it's more of a posture. Representing anything that tries to tempt, thwart, block Jesus off and away from the self-giving love that is his person. And if I'm honest, that tension lives in me today. It's always here. I mean, I know it's a struggle. I can, reflect on Jesus right now on Sunday. It's pretty outside. It's gray. Then Monday through Saturday, embody everything that resists how Jesus actually lives and animates himself in the world. I mean, isn't that amazing? I can get up and say, oh, yeah, Jesus is great. I love it. And then go over here and act in every way that's the direct opposite of embodying and animating the Messiah in my sphere of influence, and how I speak, and how I live, and how I work out. And I find that interesting in culture. You know, dropping bombs in the name of God. The desire for victory without the cross, for power without surrender, control without the costly love. And I have to, Jesus asks, Brother Carl, but who do you say I am? Sometimes I want a Messiah that saves me without changing me. Because I'm already a good guy. I'm cool, Brother Carl. Everybody knows me. You want some chicken on Saturday? I'm your guy. I mean, I'm cool. I mean, y'all some of me, Hey, Jesus, I'm dancing. I'm cool, Carl. Everybody knows me. I'm good. I'm one of the good guys. I'm on the inner circle, Lord. And that challenge can be very subtle. Trying to defend and help God by making sure things are done by the book. Get everybody in line. Doing what they're supposed to be doing. I don't want to enable you because God never enables me, right? Is everyone paying their fair share? Do we have enough? Who's taking advantage of the system? Who's taking more than they want? I got you, God. I'll handle this. You handle the saving. I'll handle the people. You ever felt that? Who do you say I am? Says Jesus. Part of Peter's mistake, and much like mine, maybe like yours as well, I won't assume, but that it wasn't that he didn't know who Jesus was. He knew, I think. But it's just that he couldn't accept that kind of Messiah, right? And sometimes this collides with me, at least. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus is the Savior. But just don't die. Don't be human. Because I can't accept that. Who do you say I am, says Jesus. Whether it's trying to follow or redirect, I just see a lot of examples in the ancient text where Jesus says, I mean, can I keep it real with you? Straight up, we just hear me. I see Jesus says, follow me, come with me, learn of me, take my yoke upon you. I see that more than I see him saying, bow down and worship me. And we can debate that later if you want to, but I just think that's interesting to notice that. Again, who do you say I am? What's at stake in the question is not just do you recognize Jesus, but will you follow Jesus who refuses power, embraces the cross, disrupts everything you thought salvation would be like? It's an ongoing and daily challenge. Peter in verse 16, he's blessed, prophetic. And then Peter in verse 23, standing in the way of God. Almost in the same breath. Jesus asks again, who do you say I am?